name?
Knights and Knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. This is the first time that we are doing this on YouTube as well. I'm trying to center my camera. I apparently am very directionally challenged right now, but Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you. Wow. All right, yeah, I think I'm getting more set here. All right, that's close enough for now. But Gary, year five doing the show with you. Awesome to be back with you. How have you been, man?
Wow, does time fly? That's amazing to me. And I got to tell you that I'm excited about this 25-26 season. You're in my first NBA city, 1978, Milwaukee. And people say to me, Saint, what city did you really enjoy? And, you know, if you know anything about the Midwest, the people are really warm and they welcome you. And I remember moving into our house in Whitefish Bay, and a guy next door, he brought over some brownies. The woman next door brought over a casserole. And every time I went out to rake the leaves, they always waved at you every morning driving out with the car. So that's a great town. And I got to tell you, I've been watching Milwaukee, and I don't know how they're doing this because they don't have a backcourt, and they are playing tremendous.
Yeah, they really are. They're off to a 3-1 start this season. We're going to break down this upcoming game with the Bucks later on in the show. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. We have Mark Grandy operating the show behind the scenes. He'll let us know, and he'll get you on the air. But, yeah, this Bucks team is looking really good through four games. We'll break down that roster. We're also going to have Warriors assistant Chris DeMarco join the show in the second segment. He was recently named to the Dominican University of California Athletics Hall of Fame. He was a double-double machine there for that NAIA school, and he gave a really nice Hall of Fame acceptance speech last weekend, coming back after the game in Portland, their only loss of the season. So this is our first time talking about the 25-26 Warriors, a 4-1 start. And I figured we should just open it. Gary, what have you made of the great start to this season?
Well, I didn't envision this. And I think the whole wild card to this whole thing is Jonathan Kuminga. And I know we're going to get into him quite a bit. I knew what we were going to get, for example, with Al Horford. I knew what we were going to get with the old three. And I'm looking at that young group with Moody and Kuminga and Podzimski, and I'm going to include Post and Davis in there. I'm going to call Heald a mid-aged guy. And I'm probably forgetting a few guys, but I am really, really impressed. The ball is moving beautifully. I think this, what I've seen early is more wing isos, which we hadn't seen in the past, which tells you that Steve Kerr really feels good about matchups with his guys. And that's really impressive. And defensively, I think when Al Horford is in there, it makes a big, big difference. You can see what he did against the Joker. He is going to be, what am I going to call it? He's in the bullpen. And when he's called upon, he's going to play at a great level. It's going to make life a lot easier for Draymond. And I think that those big four, those older guys, we should give them praise. I think they've had a heck of an impact in the locker room, especially on Kuminga. The NBA is a business. People forget about that. We fall in love with the players, but you have to manage the luxury tax, the salary cap, and all those things, that's all economics. And it's not to say that they didn't think the world of Kuminga, but they were figuring out what they were going to do in 2 years when the older guys' contracts end. And so he could be upset, but the point is, I really think that those guys told him, hey, let it go. Let's go. You're going to have a heck of a year. And that's really important when you get hearing it from a different voice and it's in the locker room. So I really think that's big, and they're helping the young guys out. I really think they are. And it's just great. I mean, Steph has not had to carry a tremendous load. You know, you're going to talk about a lot of guys on the teams, but we've had a lot of guys just step up in different games. And it's just a terrific start.
You know, there were games last year before Jimmy Butler got traded to the Warriors where Steph would need to score 35 for the Warriors to have a chance.
Yeah.
Well, Steph has scored 35 points combined in the last two games, and the Warriors won both of those against very good opponents in Memphis and the Clippers. And look, I know it's early in the season, but if you can stack up wins against teams who you figure are going to be in that 3-10, 2-10 range, you can get an early head up on the tiebreaker that could eventually come to play. We saw how close it was last year, basically from 3 through 7 or so. Those are big wins early. And you mentioned Jonathan Kuminga, and he has been so good this year. He's one of the three things I have really liked about the star this season. And you've talked about it the past 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
Love the athleticism, but the rebounding. And this year, 7.4 rebounds per game through his first five. 37 rebounds is the most he's had in any five-game stretch in his career. I know that has to bring a smile to your face.
I'm just thrilled for him. You know, the bell rang. He's young. We have to remember this. And young guys might think, I don't have anything to prove. I'm already Kobe Bryant. And hey, this is a hard, hard business. And it's a humbling business. So now he takes knowledge from the veteran players, from Steve Kerr. I bet you read this today, Kevin, Hoopipes. The comments that he made today about his relationship with Steve Kerr made the hair stand up on my head. Now, there's not much left. But I was really excited. Really, really was. He said, coach me, coach. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, what you need me to do. And what better compliment to give a young guy than say, okay, we're putting you on the primary offensive player every game now. Now, I love Moody in that role, but doing this with Kuminga, that's telling you that things have been looking really, really good in practice. And you brought out a great point, Kev, about the rebounding. I'm going to talk about the passing. Now, you're the stats guru. Hasn't he had two games with four assists?
Well, he's averaging more than three assists per game this season, which for his career, he's around like 1.8.
There you go. Yeah. That's exciting. It tells you that the game is slowing down for him. What the heck do you mean by that? He's not in a rush. I told you the story about Pete Carril, one of my old assistants who's in the Hall of Fame. Read the man in front of you. He'll tell you what to do. So if the guy backs off you and said, I'm going to let you shoot the three, he's knocked those down. Guys that have crowded him, he's taken them off the bounce and finished at the rim beautifully. He's getting out on the wing. I have nothing but praise for him because I've been a little, I'm not going to use the word critical. I've been constructive criticism.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, here's the thing about what we have seen this year from Jonathan. It's not like we haven't seen this before. We've seen it in stretches. I remember, I think it was his second year in the Christmas Day game against the Boston Celtics. I think it was the 22-23 season where he guarded Jason Tatum. And it was like in a stretch where the Warriors were not playing well, and he really helped them win that game. The stretch right before he got injured last year, from like December to January 4th when he sprained his ankle, he was playing the best basketball of his career. And then, of course, they make the big Jimmy Butler trade, and things kind of got thrown out of whack for him. Well, now that lineup with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga, it's working. It's plus 37 in 74 minutes. And of course, that lineup didn't really work that well last year in the limited time they had together. Well, now you have a training camp where you can really hone things out. You're not in the middle of a mad dash to try to get in the top six. And, wow, hey, it's working pretty well, those three together.
Well, you know what, Kev? You'd look at that front line if you were scouting them and say, we're just going to let them beat us over the top, give them perimeter shots. But again, Steve's mantra ever since he came to the Warriors, move the ball, and move people. And if you do that, you're going to touch the paint. You're going to create shots for others. You're going to have drives to the basket. You're going to open up your perimeter shooters like Steph Curry. And, you know, Podzimski's coming off a really nice game. And these guys on the bench, I just can't give them enough praise. One guy I forgot to mention was Peyton. I think he's just a unique player. At 6'4", he plays like a four-man. And he can also guard the heck out of the ball. So, and we didn't talk much about the guy that you loved in Guy Santos. And if you asked me, would you say to me, would you have him on your NBA roster if I had a need? Yes. Why?
Yep.
That guy brings energy every single day. He doesn't know how to play not hard. I love the guy. So look at how deep this team is, Kev. It's really something. It's a tremendously good problem for the coaching staff.
Yeah, it is a good problem to
have.
It
really is, figuring out your combinations.
Yeah, and you're going to need to have this kind of depth, Gary, when eventually in the season, some of your older players are going to have to take a game off. We already know Al Horford's not playing in back-to-backs this year. And so that's, you know, with the 15 sets of back-to-backs I have, I believe that the Warriors have, that's 15 games. That's 300 minutes. I'm going to do it 20. If he's going to be around 20 minutes, 25 minutes a game, like 375 minutes on the season, you're going to need to fill right there if he just misses only those 15 games.
It's really true, but that's a luxury that Mike Dunleavy and his crew have put together this roster, and you can say, oh my gosh, if we give these guys a night off, we're not even going to have a chance. Well, you know what? They'll be very diligent in their study of who they're playing and they will hold fast to that. They'll keep those guys. What do you think, Kev? I don't know, 70 or even in the 60s? Some people even said 60 to me, which I think is a little low. But I think it's a terrific roster. I really like the way it's been put together. You and I are going to do a lot of studying of the other teams in the West. And they're the surprise so far, and they've opened eyes. A lot of people around the country are saying, uh-oh, they're at it again.
They are at it again. And comedian Shane Gillis is coming to the Bay. Join us live at Chase Center Friday, November 7th. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Warriors assistant coach Chris DeMarco will be joining us to talk about his Hall of Fame induction into the Dominican University of California Athletics Hall of Fame. We'll talk a little bit about this season that the Dubs have undertaken so far this year, the 4-1 start, and more when we come back right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Secure your seats for all Warriors Cup games at Chase Center. Includes matchups against the Portland Trail Blazers and the Houston Rockets. Tickets on sale now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. The third edition of the NBA Cup will be starting November 7th, about 9 days from today. We welcome you back here on Warriors Roundtable. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you. We will be having Chris DeMarco, Warriors assistant, join us momentarily while we get him on the line. Talked about a couple of things I really like this year. Kuminga's play, the Draymond Kuminga Butler lineup. Another thing that has stood out to me, Gary, the third quarter and kind of in the halcyon days of the first part of the dynasty, there'd be that phrase, must be the third quarter. And that'd be the quarter where the Warriors coming out of the half would just bury teams. In the third quarter this year, they're plus 50 in five games, including plus 18 last night and plus 12 Monday against Memphis.
Well, that's been instilled from the very beginning from Steve and all the coaches that he's had along the line sitting next to him. And those older three guys have embraced it. Now, you got Butler just coming in, but Draymond and Steph have passed the message, and they've been just special. Nobody better in the third period in the league.
All right. Well, we are now joined by Warriors assistant Chris DeMarco. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time out of your evening. We're about 100 miles from your hometown with the Warriors flying into Milwaukee. First off, what's it like to be home? I know you get to do this road trip once a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice coming back home, and it's much better this year with the weather. You know, we got about 50 degrees, so, you know, a little light jacket, but already walked around a little bit. Milwaukee's a beautiful city. You know, you're right on the water, and, you know, I love the people here and good food and good restaurants.
Yeah, well, if I were to tell, first off, congratulations on being inducted into the Dominican Hall of Fame. And if I were to tell that 2009, Chris, in 16 years, and I know coaching wasn't exactly on the top of your mind back then, but in 16 years, he'd have won four NBA titles on staff with Golden State, coached a ton of future Hall of Famers. What would he say to that?
Yeah, I would have laughed at you. I mean, I was just trying to figure out at the time, like, you know, what school I was going to. I'm pursuing my MBA. You know, I focused on my education and then figuring out what's next, see if I can make it in California, you know, all that. And then, yeah, to obviously get this opportunity to coach at the highest level and be around the group that's obviously been so special and, you know, sort of like the Jordan and Bulls I grew up on to be part of the Warriors, you know, for that next generation. It's been incredible.
Chris, tell us about where are you? Where's home in the Milwaukee area? And then tell us how the heck you got this break to get on this staff.
Yeah, I'm from Appleton, so I'm near Green Bay.
Appleton.
About 25, 30
I've
minutes
been there.
From Green Bay.
I know yeah. Kevin hasn't been there.
Yeah, no,
hey,
no.
Hey, Chris,
he's
just
too,
so you know, I'm
soft.
A lot older.
He's too soft.
Hey, Chris, I'll tell you this. I came there in 1978. And just like you, I love it. You got the restaurants with Carl Rogers. You got the lake, and that's a great place. And maybe you've been to Major Goosby's.
I have, because I grew up going to the Bucks games, and that was sort of, you know, where
there
my
you
father
go.
Would take me, my family would take me. So that's great that you just name dropped that.
That's
oh,
great.
Man. Great, great.
So,
great
Kev, Will, one more question.
Walking memories.
Kev, how?
Yeah,
how,
go ahead.
Gary. Chris, tell us how you got there on the Warriors staff.
Yeah, I went in as a video intern. You know, it's usually how
wow
how people have to get in. I had a former college teammate was with the Clippers, and then he was in the Warriors video room part time. And when Mark Jackson was the head coach, I would go and play pickup with those guys, the staff, some other friends of the staff. And I got to know them
love
that
it.
Way. And then I still, you know, I was in the mix. Like, it's nothing was guaranteed. And a few things had to happen. I ended up having a chance at it. And I called my boss. I worked for a data storage company at the time. I was finishing up my MBA. And my boss said, hey, look, like, I'll give you however many hours a week so you can pursue your dream. I took on a bartending job. And that was kind of how my first year went.
Wow. Incredible story, and you made a really nice speech. I was listening to it on the plane ride over here, you know, about all the people that helped you along your way to where you're at. And, you know, at Dominican, a double-double machine. I believe you had 14 double-doubles the one season you were there, 15.2 points, 9.9 rebounds. How would you say your time at Dominican kind of prepared you for a coaching career, even if you weren't thinking about being a coach when you were playing there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was worn out on basketball. And, I mean, it happens with anything, you know, you do a lot of sometimes. Like, I had lost my love for the game, to be honest. And going to Dominican, having 1 year left, I didn't know that I was going to do anything in basketball. And the community and the school and the people that were around me kind of brought me back to life and, you know, gave me that passion again and that fire and, like, kind of changed everything right. for me. So I'm forever grateful to Dominican University. And just the area in Marin County and the Bay Area, it's my home now. So can't say enough nice things about it.
That's a beautiful story. I love it. Starting as an intern, you know who did that? Spoelstra. I knew him when he was in that film room with Pat Riley. And I met him and I said, this is really a good guy. And I knew his dad really well. He was in marketing. And boy, kudos to you. Boy, you've had some great years. Now, I'm looking at you and saying to myself, maybe you've had to go to psychiatrist a couple times because you look to be tight with Draymond.
Is that true? Dre?
Yeah.
Well, Dre, I like to say we were in the same rookie class. My first year was his rookie year. And, I watched him grow. He watched me grow, you know, from being an intern, not knowing what the heck I was doing, to having to make sure I learned the game and like I learned the NBA and that my preparation was correct. And so when these guys can come and ask me what I think, or we have to make an adjustment, they know that it's based on the evidence of me putting the work in. And that was most important. I think, Draymond, he's such a great guy. He has such a good heart. And I know sometimes the way he plays and, you know, he's the fear he puts in opponents, sometimes people don't understand, like, how special person he is off the court, too. And, you know, he's been such a great person for me to learn from and to be around basketball-wise. And, you know, this is my 14th season now. So, you know, a few of us have been around, you know, for a long time together. So, yeah,
it's great.
Really appreciative of him, yeah.
Yeah, that's not only have you kind of risen within the ranks of the Warriors in those 14 years, but you're also head coach of the Bahamian national team, and you have them very close to qualifying for the Olympics. You took down a normal kind of America's juggernaut in Argentina, and you very nearly beat Spain, which is, challenged USA for gold a couple of different times. What was that experience like coaching the Bahamian national team?
I was fantastic. I just, from when it started, you know, I first helped out in 18 and became the head coach in 19. And you know, the program was so green, and in some ways it still is. But, you know, Buddy Hield being here, we kind of started together on that and just built this team of players that, whether it was shooting, whether it was playmaking, defense, whatever it was, like we had to find these key guys that we could surround our stars with for when it all came together. And it's just this process. And for it to get to where it was, where we almost had a shot at the Olympics. I think about it all the time, how close we were. And, you know, we're going to get another crack at this thing. But from a perspective of what it's done for me as an assistant coach, it's really taught me a lot. You know, I've been in the same spot, as I said, for 13 NBA seasons, but I also have this head coaching experience that I get in the summer where I'm dealing with different personalities. Yep. I'm dealing with things that assistant coaches normally wouldn't have to deal with. And so, you know, it just helps me with Steve Kerr. It helps me with, you know, whether it's management, whether it's logistics, whatever else. Like, I can have that experience of, you know, feeling all that other stuff that you normally wouldn't just as an assistant. So it's helped me grow a lot. You know, I'm with my own craft and understanding what my philosophies are. And, you know, if I had my opportunity at any level outside of FIBA, what it would look like offensively, defensively, culture, all that. So it's been a hell of a ride. And I think the program where it's at, it's in a great place. And Bahamian basketball is in a great place. And I think basketball fans are really starting to see that.
Kev, one point. Chris, that's awesome that you pursued that. Now, you'll remember this because you're a historian of the game, and the guy I'm chatting with is the better historian, Kevin. There was a guy who was a great teammate of Bill Russell's, and his name was Casey Jones, and they played at USF. And then Russell had 12 championships, 10. Sam Jones had 10, and I think Casey had 9. And he was the nicest man you'd ever want to meet. But when he stepped on the court, oh, my God, his defense, he was so strong. So one, and I knew the Celtic guys because I was from Massachusetts. He said to me, Saint, I'm going to tell you something. The biggest challenge in coaching is to move over 18 inches. That's all, 18 inches. From that seat, the assistant coach, where everybody loves you, you can't do much wrong because you're not controlling minutes, move over there and be the head coach. and see what that feels like.
That's such a great line.
Boy, it's true.
Yeah, didn't that USF duo created the alley-oop, did they not? Wasn't that?
Yes, they did. Wow, good for you.
I believe it was a football thing that they brought to USF. I mean, somebody's got to fact check that, but pretty sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's right on. Great job.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate your time. Just one more question. Following up on Bahamian basketball, VJ Edgecombe has had an incredible start to his rookie season with Philadelphia. Woo. And you saw him before he ever played a game at Baylor. What was it like coaching him?
Oh, just a pleasure. I mean, he came into our training camp in Houston and just dominated. I mean, 18 years old, no fear.
Wow.
And a lot of times, you know, I tell the story, but I like to talk to people who have played against players, right? And if you talk to anybody who's played against VJ at any level, like, they will tell you right away there's something different about him. And instinctually, he's a top five guy I've ever met around. So I think, like, what happens sometimes, you look at the athleticism and you're like, oh, this guy's green. Like, you know, he's got to develop a better-looking jump shot. He's got to do this and that. But sometimes those guys don't have the instincts that he also has. And I think that's what separates him, and I'm sure the people in Philadelphia are realizing right now. And he's different. He's a winner, and he does all these little things that are very hard to teach. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. Just his story.
That's beautiful.
Anybody go look up VJ Edgecombe's story and how he grew up, and it's unbelievable. So for him to be at this spot and for him to be as impactful as he is right now, it's not a surprise to me or anybody who coached him or been around him, but it is for people who don't know the name yet, for sure.
Chris, thanks so much for your time. Congrats on the Hall of Fame honor. Well-deserved, and best luck on this upcoming road trip to Milwaukee and Indiana.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Warriors assistant Chris DeMarco joining us. Gary, great to get a chance to talk with Chris, a young up-and-coming coach who is at the same time a veteran of the Warriors program.
I love listening to that. And that's what gives hope to young guys that breaking into the league. And just the relationships he's created with players. He's done his homework, because players know, Kev, players know if you are prepared. If they come to you for a question and you don't have the answer, and can't give them some direction, not coming back. So this guy here, tremendous. And taking that job coaching, wow, that's a great move on his part. So just kudos to him. I love it. It's great. Appleton, Wisconsin. Good place.
Appleton, Wisconsin. Yeah, I looked it up. A distance from Appleton to Milwaukee on my Google Maps, 107 miles. It said, as he said, it's close.
He'll be asking everybody on the team for tickets.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570, and we head out to the phone lines right now. Big Al in SF. I don't believe this is Al Horford. I believe this is another Big Al who has called into the show a few times. He wants to talk about the start of the season. Big
Al,
what's going on,
man?
You have great minds think alike with good memories. You guys got them. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Great.
Big
how are
Al.
You, Al?
Thanks for calling.
I'm good. Just finishing up work, living the dream, going to cook up some food, going to turn on some NBA basketball, and I get to turn on NBA basketball tomorrow. We get to watch our 4-1 Golden State Warriors. I love the way that this team is playing. Even last night's game, they only went to the line, I think it was like four times or six times.
Yeah, there were three or four.
And they've been averaging 30 a game. I'm sorry? They were 3-for-4. That's what I think it was. I'm not sure if they went back at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And they've been averaging, before the game, they were going to the line 30 times for 30 attempts a game. And, I mean, look, the Clippers looked disinterested. It looked like, you know, they looked just whacked.
They looked old,
I don't know what's going on there. I agree, Saint. They looked old, but they looked disinterested. I mean, that's the second time in five games that they looked disinterested. They laid the egg in Utah to start the season and then came here.
Yes.
Harden had 20 in the first half, didn't score in the second half. And Kawhi Leonard, who was a minus 29. But, you know, yeah, they looked disinterested. But, you know, our team, you know, the Dubs and so forth, they showed that they can win in different ways.
Yes.
You know, when ever since
good evaluation.
The team traded for Jimmy, they go to the line. I'm sorry.
Good evaluation. You're right on.
Yeah, they go to the line. Ever since they got Jimmy, it's a whole different team. And you know, this year obviously it's there's new additions to the group and so forth. But they were going to the line 30 times a game, and they won that game pretty handily. I mean, you know, the Clippers went up, and you know, the Warriors came back. But when the Warriors came back, the Clippers just went into a shell. They looked disinterested, and the proverbial towel was thrown in with about 6 minutes left. And you know, when Ty Lue went to the bench. And if the Clippers are supposed to be one of those teams that are supposed to contend for a title, well, they better figure it out, and they better figure it out fast, because they're old and momentum hits you and it's not going to turn around. But for the Dubs, I love the way that they're playing. Not everybody has been, you know, it's not one guy every single night. The ball is moving and there's balanced shooting. Like the only game that they lost, Curry, I think, took 24 shots, and the next highest was like 13. But in the game on Monday, the highest was 14. Nobody shot more than 14 shots. The first two games at home, it was all balanced. And if they can keep that up and stay healthy and get back to the line, the viewing last night is an aberration. We're going to see good things. We could all be talking about the Dubs in June. We'll see what happens. That's what makes it fun.
Al, that's great stuff. You're spot on with everything. And I think the credit should go to Steph Curry. You know, there's a lot of stars. I was just watching Cleveland play Boston, and they got beat. And, boy, I'll tell you, you talk about a ball-dominant guy, you got Mitchell, a guy who I'd like to see shoot more as Mobley. But you got a guy in Steph Curry. If you got a guy going, if Heald's got the smoking shot going or whoever, he defers. He's all about winning, and that's the beautiful thing. His ego is checked at the door, and I would say to everybody, feel a blessing, you know, that you can watch him this year, and it's just amazing every time I watch the guy. I just feel great about basketball when I watch the guy play, and I'm excited about these other guys. Just as Kevin said, and you're saying, Al, that this roster is really, really good. I did a preseason rating. I had the Clippers around 7 or 8. They're going down. Down.
You've seen enough after 4 games. They're 2-2 now. You've seen enough after 4 games to say no.
I don't have patience. You know what? Al was right. That goddamn Harden, I've never liked him, so I got to get that off my chest. He gets 20 in the first half. He goes off the floor, and he's got his arm around Tyronn Lue. And I'm saying to myself, what the heck is he telling him? Then in the second half, he was already on the plane, ready to go. And disinterest. I like the way they're trying to get the ball to Zubac. And Leonard's not a quick scorer. He's going to pound the ball a little bit. He turns left or right shoulder for his jumper. You know who they miss right now, Kev? They miss Powell.
They do. And Norman Powell's off to a great start with Miami, by the way. He's averaging like 24
Miami.
A game.
I don't know how this is all going to fit. Dunn, to me, is more of an athlete. I don't see him as a prominent scorer. And I'm looking at the rest of the team, and I'm not enthused about them.
I mean, I think you got to give it some time. Bradley Beal's hurt right now. That doesn't help.
He will be hurt a lot.
Yeah, that unfortunately has kind of been the case for Brad Beal a good chunk of the last few years of his career. I do think he played a decent number of games last year with Phoenix, but he has definitely been hurt a good chunk in recent seasons. I still think they're going to be a dangerous team, but it was nice to see the Warriors snap that 7-game losing skid against the Clippers. You mentioned the second half defense on Harden. I would like to say perhaps double teaming James Harden in the second half did slow him down a little bit, but you thought he just kind of checked out of that game?
No, but I love the bench coaching. And Tyronn Lue's one of the top five coaches in the league. But you know, those guys said, hey, we gotta make them play a different style. And they did it. They got it out of his hands and make other people try to do stuff. That's in-game adjustments or halftime adjustments that when you watch the game, if you're on top of things, you pick it out and you go, okay. You know, they could just sit back and do what they're still same doing. They're in a decent place to win the game. But no, they said they're going to be the aggressors, and, you know, that's a great move.
How about Quentin Post last night, right? I mean, this is a guy we've known about his three-point shooting, but I tell you, that's the best defense I've ever seen him play. That's the strongest I've ever seen him guard as far as keeping someone off the glass, kind of like standing tall in the paint. I mean, he did have a couple of blocks against Ja Morant on Monday too. I wasn't worried about his. He was what, maybe 1-for-5 from three entering that game on the season. I wasn't worried about that. I knew the shots were going to fall, but he's really shown something to me on the defensive end, especially that last mini homestand.
You know, I'm a fan favorite of his because he went to Boston College, and my roommate in college was the AD there for 19 years. Now, how the heck a guy like that gets to what, 59 or what, 58 or whatever the heck it was in the draft?
52.
50, yeah. But if a guy can pick and pop and he's big, what a commodity. Now, give this guy credit. He went to work in the weight room this summer. His body looks much better. The second thing is he got his undergrad from BC, but he's getting his master's degree right now from Al Horford. And every day he should be picking his brain how to defend somebody in the paint, which you just talked about, Kev. And then, okay, I'm on the perimeter. You know, do I influence to the middle or to the baseline? You know, he should talk to him every night about a scouting report on who they're going to be guarding. This is where Al Horford is going to be really valuable. He'll also help Davis, too, who I still feel an upside to. He had one preseason game where, gosh, he had four or five pick and rolls in there for three or four dunks. But you got to give Post credit, and it's great. It can continue. It really can. This isn't just a 4 or 5-game thing. I really like what I'm seeing.
I mean, here's the thing with Trayce Jackson-Davis. The Warriors now kind of have an embarrassment of riches, quote-unquote, at the big position, right? Like, you went into last year. Going into last year, you didn't really know what you were going to get from Quentin Post, right? Like, he was spending most of the time in the G League with me in Santa Cruz. You had Trayce Jackson-Davis, and you were starting Draymond Green at the five. Well, now you had Al Horford to this mix. Quentin Post turns out to be very effective. And look, Trayce Jackson-Davis is doing just fine. Like, there is still a role for him on this team. This guy is going to play in the NBA for quite some time, I believe.
Yes.
And so it's just like the minutes aren't quite there right now for him. Well, folks, join us live at Chase Center on Tuesday, November 4th, as the Warriors take on the Phoenix Suns, presented by Kaiser Permanente. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will break down this upcoming road trip to Milwaukee and Indiana right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable. Remind you that the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors are in Milwaukee tomorrow, Thursday, October 30th, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time. I'll be on the call right here on 95.7 The Game, as I will be in Indiana Saturday, November 1st, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time. Then returning home, Tim Ryan will be with you Tuesday, November 4th as the Dubs take on the Phoenix Suns along with Tom Tolbert, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time right here on 95.7. Then they go back on the road. 10 of the next 12 games for the Warriors on the road. Wednesday, November 5th at Sacramento. Back end of a back-to-back. 6:30 on the air. 7 p.m. tip time. And then Friday in Denver, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time, Tim Roy on the call. So that's what's coming up for Golden State. Let's start with this Milwaukee Bucks team. Your Bucks are looking pretty, pretty good, to quote Larry David, 3-1, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is having one hell of a start to the season. Try 36, 14, and 7 points, rebounds, and assists. I mean, it has been incredible to watch.
Kev, again, your memory's better than mine. I don't know if I've ever seen him better. He looks tremendous. He penetrated the paint, got near the rim, and he threw a behind-the-back bounce pass to somebody over in the corner for a three. I went, what the heck? I'm like, wow, he's just taking it all over. He's taking ownership. He's got a great relationship with Doc. Hey, they went out there and got Turner, and it's probably let him have less emphasis on paint play, and he's bringing it up more and doing his thing. Here's what he did. We talked about Post. He went and spent 4 or 5 days getting his doctorate with Hakeem Olajuwon. And he made a move from the left box. I'm sitting watching highlights today. And he made a move on the left box, which Olajuwon was famous for. He faked middle, and most bigs are trying to take away your middle. He goes into the middle, and then he spun like a ballerina to the baseline and tomahawked it. I went, wow, that was vintage Olajuwon. And the block shots and everything, you know, I love Bobby Portis. I think he's a heck of a player. One guy that's got to wake up for them, they got from Washington, who hasn't done it, to be honest with you, is Kuzma. And he's capable. I don't know what's going
on. He's very capable.
But you look at that segment, those four guys in the front line, even though they've lost Lopez, that's strong. But if you asked me to analyze their backcourt, I could not. I don't know a lot of their guys in the backcourt. So people are playing well. They're understanding their roles. And, you know, kudos to Doc. I knew Doc when he was a freshman at Marquette. And I watched him sink a half-court shot to beat Digger Phelps. And I was absolutely thrilled. It was awesome. Doc's a hell of a guy. He's had a hell of a career.
I won't tell Bob Fitzgerald that you were rooting against Notre Dame.
Well, I regularly do cheer for them, but not that certain coach.
No, okay. I got you.
If you got my gist.
Yes. I got your gist. I do want to get into their backcourt a little bit, but first, I'm curious to get your perspective on this, because I was thinking, as I've watched every Milwaukee Bucks game this year, Giannis Antetokounmpo, to me, is the most physically dominant player I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's pretty darn fair. You know, I'd have Kobe in there. And I'd have LeBron just because of his physical makeup, the way he can just power right through you. But this guy, you know, you look at his shoulders. He's a tremendous athlete. Yeah. And I love the way, Kev, this week he squashed all that rumor stuff. I loved it.
Yeah.
And Doc said the same thing. Hey, we don't have any issues. We don't have any problems. It's all of you guys creating these problems. And writing or talking about him. And I just think that team looks at peace and they look happy.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be entering his 13th year in Milwaukee if he didn't like playing here. Like, he clearly does love this city. I mean, you could see him mouthing last night as he was starting to dismantle the Knicks. This is my city. There was a – they caught that in slow-mo.
That's great.
Like, I mean, he, you know, this – Milwaukee, of course, I mean, this has been his only NBA home. I mean, he is really, to the point about his shoulders, this isn't what he looked like when he came into the league. Like, he has really spent a lot of time sculpting his body and has really put in the work. With respect to the backcourt, they have a former Santa Cruz Warrior and a former Golden State Warrior who's playing really well right now, and Ryan Rollins. Now, he got traded. He was part of that Chris Paul deal. Yeah, I'm telling you. We'd see flashes in Santa Cruz. We're like, this guy is good. And he is showing it this year. He's averaging 15 a game. It's a small sample size theater. I understand they've only played four games. But, I mean, he was 4 of 4 from deep. He has he's like 6'2", 6'3", maybe something like that. He's got a 6'10 wingspan. And that length just allows him to be an absolute pest. I mean, he had 4 steals last night. He's averaging 3 steals per game this year. So his ability to pick up 94 feet, to get into passing lanes, and if he's going to hit more than 40% from three, which he's doing right now, this guy can get to the hole at will too. I mean, this guy can really get downhill on teams. I think they've found something. And Cole Anthony, I'm a big fan of. His minutes kind of went down in Orlando. There's just a dynamism about Cole Anthony. Yeah. So I like their backcourt. It's not the most kind of a household name backcourt, but those guys can be productive.
You know what? Anthony kind of went back on their roster, but I like him too. He can fill it up. He'll win you some games. And he's not afraid of the big moment. That's what I really like about him. Now I'll get back to Doc Rivers. A veteran coach willing to give a young player, Ryan, a chance. Let them have an opportunity. And if you'll hustle and play defense like he's doing, he'll live with you not scoring a lot. But if you play that way, that play that hard and produce and steal the ball, and you're going to get a chance, because that's a veteran coach who's really been around a long, long time. And, you know, I can remember years ago, Kev, John Hammond was a very good friend of mine, a longtime GM in Milwaukee.
Yep.
He drafted him Adekunpo. And he said, he said, I don't know, I just see something here. This guy, he's like a breath of fresh air. He's just fun to be around. And he was a willing worker. He wanted to learn. And he's gone to school and just picked from everybody in the league. I don't know if anybody doesn't like him. That guy's special.
Yeah, a couple of things for you. We got like 3 minutes left. I'm curious about a couple of things from your time in Milwaukee in the 70s and 80s. First, I was a manager at Stanford, and when I was a manager at Stanford, the head broadcast crew had Marcus Johnson as the color analyst, and I loved Marcus Johnson as an analyst. That was my first introduction to Marcus Johnson, and I loved Marcus Johnson. So I'm curious, A, about any recollections you have of Marcus Johnson, and B, kind of your favorite memories of Milwaukee.
Well, Marcus was one of the best players we had, and he played the three. And my wife, MJ, said he looked like Omar Sharif. She said to me, who the heck is that guy? And you talk about a sculpted guy, about 6'7", 230. And he was one of the guys that started point forward. Nelly ran that with him a lot. And I watched him in a series completely dominate Dr. J, and we beat Philadelphia in a playoff series. And that's when they had Tony and Cheeks and Bobby Jones and Daryl Dawkins and Moses. I mean, Marcus was really something. And then memories of Milwaukee. You know how tight this Warrior team looks? We had that in Milwaukee. I was a young guy and got a break from Nelly. I was listening to Chris about his break-in, and I had the same kind of story with Nelly. But the guys we had, I'm going to just mention a couple guys there. Maybe a lot of listeners won't know them. Brian Winters, great, great shooter.
Former Warriors Quinn coach, Buckner. Right?
Yeah, yes. Quinn Buckner, Indiana announcer. Say hi to him when you see him. Junior Bridgman, who became a billionaire, who just passed away this past year.
Yeah, that's right.
And another guy from Arkansas, Mr. Sidney Moncrief. And coaches within the league said, night in and night out, nobody played harder than him. He won the first two defensive player awards in the NBA. And we had a guy at the center who became a Hall of Famer, Bob Lanier, and he was a lefty. He tore his knee up terribly at St. Bonaventure, but still had a great career. If he had surgery in this day and age and was playing, he'd be phenomenal. He could score left and right, and you talk about a great guy. And I can go on to all the guys on the bench we had. It was a pleasure to be there. And MJ and I loved living there. It was a great, great experience. Great place. And the guy who owned the team, I got to share this last one. His name was Jim Fitzgerald, who later bought the Warriors from Franklin Muley. And I'll say to this day, that was the greatest owner that I've ever met in my over 40 years in the NBA. What a gentleman. And it was a phenomenal experience. So I will watch that game closely tomorrow. Some of the guys on the scoring table were there when I was there.
Really? All right. So that's almost 50 years now. Wow.
It's crazy.
I cannot wait for tomorrow's game. Should be a lot of fun. Again, you can listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Mark Grandy, R.C. Davis, Marika Cleto on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying so long. We will talk to you next Thursday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout. Because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.